I'm glad y'all are here. I'm glad I'm here. But after this message, we all gonna be mad I'm here. Hey, what can I say? I hate to start a message with a disqualifier, but I'm going anyways. First of all, I understand there are people who get sick. This message is not to if you're sick. I know there are people that sometime have to go to work. This is not if you have to go to work. I understand you have to do what you've got to do to make a living every now and again. So if this message hits you anywhere between any of those places, it's for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles. That's a key word there. Carried about with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give it to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. We'll have to camp there in a little while. Not as we want it, but as He will. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And some of the members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts which lack, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer it with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that would have to go into chapter 13 to go with that. Love is more abundant. But let's go back to the first part of this thing. And I believe everybody here understands that there are a lot of these gifts that took place at the beginning of the church age, speaking in tongues and things like that. I've never seen a flaming thing pop up on nobody's shoulder yet. So if anybody says all the things that happened in the very first week of the church continue into now, then we're not it. Because if we ain't had a flaming tongue pop up on our shoulder and spoke in Chinese or Korean or something else when somebody heard us talk, then we missed the boat. But it says here, and if you'll really search the scriptures, it says these things shall cease as things go on. And you got to remember, at the beginning of the church age, we didn't have the New Testament. We didn't even have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the beginning of the church age. People prophesied as God moved on their heart by the Holy Spirit, bringing these things in until the books were written, that we might know how to act and how to do and how to be in the church. But it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, because I not have you ignorant. First of all, it says, do you know you were Gentiles? Is any of Jews in here? I don't see a Jew. If you were, raise your hand. I'm not against you. I'm just saying, right now I'm looking at a bunch of Gentile believers. We were not of the Jewish nation. We were not the one he came to begin with. We were the ones that saw the signs and the wonders and all those things. We came into the body of Christ by faith, which was given to us by God himself, which caused us to believe. God did the work in us. We didn't see the flaming bush. We didn't see the waters get parted on the Red Sea. We didn't see none of those things that took place. We believed just because it was written, just because God has moved on our hearts, just because he showed us these things, we believe by faith. All those things took place. Somebody said, you believe what happened back then? I certainly do. I didn't see it, but I certainly believe it. God wrote it down. That's it. Settled. It says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus, by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There are a lot of people out there that claim a lot of things. So I can't just, if a man is saying, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I put my faith and trust in him, he died for me, he rose for me, he did that, I cannot look at that man and say, well, that man ain't part of the body of Christ. But I do know that if he's not in this church, he's not a body of this church. Not necessarily he's not saved. You could be somewhere else and be saved, but you got to be a body, to be in this church, to be a member in this church, you have to believe what we believe. You have to have the same faith that we believe. We used to have a covenant up here that said we do this, that, and the other, such things. But it says here that if I believe in Jesus Christ, I cannot lightly talk about him. I cannot use him as a curse word. I cannot use him as a byword. There are a lot of people that use Jesus' name in vain all day long. And I cannot say that they don't have some type of religiosity. But if you really believe in Jesus Christ, you're not going to use his name as a curse word or a byword or nothing like that all day long. I mean, there are times we can glorify God. There are times we can lift him up. But there are so many people that put him down gently just by saying, using his name as a smash your finger word or stub your toe word, stuff like that. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Everybody here was saved by the very same Spirit, was put into Christ with the very same Spirit which was sent to us by Jesus Christ himself, the Holy Spirit of God. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. In other words, every one of us in here has something different that we can bring in to the body of Christ. Every one of us in here are not exactly the same. Every one of us in here has different capabilities. Every one of us in here has different resources. Every one of us in here has a different thing that we could bring into the body to help build the body, to help hold up the body and everything else. And we just take over the last couple of years. We've got everything in this thing, witnessing, singing, piano playing, going outdoor knocking, whatever you may be, building the fellowship hall, building the sanctuary, cutting the grass. Every one of us here is in this body for a reason. We all have different things that we can do. And the question is, are we using all of our capabilities or are we just sitting on the sidelines? It says here, we all have by the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Everybody here isn't the pastor. We need one pastor. And when we get him, we're going to be glad to have him. We need one pastor to lead and guide. That doesn't mean that he's Lord over us and dictates to us, but he's heading in the same direction we are, and he leads us and he guides us and he pushes us with love, not with rules and regulations and hammering. And so if you think I'm trying to beat you up this morning, that is not it. Because I'm in this same thing here. Am I using all of my gifts? Am I using all of my talents? Am I using all of my time? Am I using everything that God has given me to do what I need to be doing for the cause of Christ? There it says there are diversities of operation, but the same God which is worketh in all in all. In other words, if you're in this body of Christ, it is God who is working in you all in all. It is God who is working in you saying, do you have this talent, or do you have that talent, or do you have this thing or that thing? It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is even to every man to profit. In other words, the Spirit was given to each one of us to profit each one of us, but not just to save us, but that each one of us would use the gifts. And I'm not necessarily talking about that charismatic stuff. I'm talking about what you actually have, what you actually have ability to do. We need computer people. We need people that can keep records. We need people who can pray for people. We need people who do all the things that God needs done. One day, the one who keeps all of our records and keeps them so very well will need somebody to take their place. Somebody needs to be learning and understanding how those records are taking place. One day, the man who keeps the treasury will be in a place where he can't do that no more. Somebody needs to be learning and growing in that knowledge how to do treasury work. Somebody needs to be studying and reading their Bible day in and day out, because one day there's going to be another need for somebody to be in this pulpit. Somebody that knows the Word of God, who has been drawn about by the Word of God. Just because you study your Word don't mean you're called. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, if you think God's calling you and you ain't studying, you better get to studying, because He wants His preachers to read the book. He wants His preachers to study the book. It says, four. One is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. One. Somebody gets the word of wisdom. Did it say there everybody gets it? No. But somebody got it. Somebody has the word of wisdom. And to another, the word of knowledge. And by the self-same Spirit. And to another, faith. And I'm not talking about a different faith that saved us, but I'm talking about another one is so faithful that no matter how bad things are going on, you just can't waver that person. That person is like a rock. Come on, guys! We got it! That's the faithful guy. I fail there sometime. I ain't got that. It says here, to another, the gift of healing. And I'm thinking that gift probably, it ain't like what I've been watching the commercials on TV. They're going to have a whole bunch of bishops get together at some place, I forget where it's at, and they're going to all do this cancer thing. They're going to all throw their wheelchairs out like this, and they're going to say, in the name of Jesus, you can walk and go and you're not going to have cancer. I don't think we have that anymore. And I feel sorry for those poor people that go and get sucked in by all that. I hope they get a little relief for a little while, but it won't save them. If you're just going for the healing, you're missing the saving. It says here, to another, the working of miracles. I have not brought down fire from the sky yet. And I don't think any of you have. I ain't seen none of y'all split the Red Sea. I ain't seen none of y'all raise the dead yet. So those things don't take place anymore. They did, but they're not no more. But to all these worketh one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. If any of us had that gift, it wouldn't be because we work it up in ourselves. It wouldn't be because we mustered it up in ourselves. It would be because God Himself has said, that man or that person is going to have this particular gift for a particular reason to do a particular thing, and he's going to do it because he said so severally as he will. Those other folks work it up. Well, you need to let find out how to speak in tongues or something like that. The best I can understand about tongues is if I was speaking in English right now and there was a Chinese man that never spoke a word of English sitting on that back row and he heard it in his language, that would be speaking in tongues, not a bunch of jibber-jabber. For as the body is one and many members, and all the members of that one being many are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. Now, I'm going to break this down into something I never do. So y'all can't see that after today, because today I'm going to do it. Baseball. We are the baseball team of Grace Bible Baptist Church. Just get your pitcher. One of you is the catcher. He catches. One of you is the pitcher. One of you is the first baseman. One of you is the second baseman. One of you is the center fielder. One of you is the third baseman. One's the right fielder. One's the center fielder. One's the left fielder. The ball gets hit by the team on the opposite side. The catcher, the ball's way out yonder. The catcher does not run to the center field fence to do that job. There's a man assigned to that. There's someone who has that position. If the ball is hit between first and second, the first baseman does not run to that thing. He goes to first base. The second baseman runs to the ball so he can make a play at first base. Every man on that team, every person on that team has a position. Every person on that team, without that person, that team will not function. My point here being is, everyone in this building has a function. Everyone in this building is a part of this team. Everyone in this building, you get away with baseball, everyone that's in this church is necessary. Necessary. The preacher don't want to preach to empty pews. That would be nobody to pitch to. Nobody to catch. Nobody to field. Nobody to run. We're in here, God says, could the head say to the foot, I'm not the foot, so I don't need you? We need every player on the team. But besides needing every player on the team, they need to be doing their job. You see, being on the team and just being on the team doesn't get it done. You have a job. If you're the pitcher, over and over. If you're the catcher, if you're the fielder, you're ready. So if you're a member of this church, every one of you being put in this church by God Himself, every one of you has a spot, every one of you has a job, every one of you has a thing that you need to develop and grow in, including me. So it says here, let's start getting back to the Bible a little bit here, get away from baseball. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body. By the Spirit we're all placed into this church by one Spirit. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, regardless of where we came from, if we're born again believers in this church, we have been here, put here by God. Whether we be bond or free, we have all been to drink of the same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. This is not just one thing, but it's many. All of us are part of this church. All of us are part of this membership. All of us are part of this thing that's going on. And so it says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? No. We're still the same body. We're still part of the same thing. If you cut off my hand, I will miss it. If my hand refuses to do what it's supposed to do, I will miss it. If my hand doesn't want to show up on Sunday, I will miss it. It says, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Yes, it's of the body. So the ear is made for hearing. It's a necessary thing. For those of y'all that are becoming hard of hearing, you understand what hearing means. For those of you who are losing your eyesight a little bit, you understand how important the eyes are. If my eyes go, there are a lot of things I love to do that I will no longer be able to do. I may have wisdom to do them. I may have spirit to do them. But without my eyes, there are a lot of things that I love to do that I no longer will be able to do. Are they important? Absolutely. In fact, even with my ears, there's a lot of things I love to do that if I lose my hearing will greatly affect the things I like to do. Because I won't be able to hear them leaves tweaking and things going on far off and expect something to come up. I won't be able to tell when somebody's sneaking up behind me. It says here, if the ear shall say, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not one body? Yes, it's one body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? In other words, if we were all just like me, boy, would y'all be messed up. But the thing is, if everybody here was just a chart, we'd be a messed up bunch. There would be no diversity of us. There would be no going out. There would be no spreading of gifts and characters or different things that people could talk to me. If everybody was just like me, then there would be nobody at all. We'd just be one person, one individual. It says here, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? In other words, if everybody was just like me, what would your gift be doing? What would your talent be doing? What would your stuff be doing? The word would be absolutely nothing. Because if you were all just like me, the things that you do, where you go, where you talk to, the people you see would never get seen. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where is the smelling? In other words, it's saying every part of us is so very important. In other words, if we were all a nose, we couldn't hear. If we were all an eye, we couldn't smell. You were placed in this body. I was placed in this body. Every one of us were placed in this body for a specific purpose by God. For a reason by God. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and don't miss what I'm saying. There are people who are members of this body that if they walked in and sat on that pew back there, I would go say, glad to see you. Glad you're visiting. Glad you're here today. And they would look at me and say, well, brother, I'm a member here. And I'm saying, I've been here 5 years. I've never seen you. I mean, there's a problem with the body of Christ. If you're a member of this body and you ain't been here in years, there's an issue there. I would go welcome you in and you'd be saying, well, brother, I've been here all the time. I said, well, you have? I hadn't seen you. We miss everybody that's not here. Now, like I said at the beginning of this thing, I understand sickness. I'm just a feeble old guy. I understand sickness. If you ain't able to go, you got cancer, you laid up somewhere, I understand that. I understand if you got to go to work because if you don't, you're going to get fired. I understand that. But getting fired from work don't happen every Sunday. If it does, you need to get another job. That's just me now. That ain't Bible. That's just me. It says, but now, hath God set every member, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased Him. If you're a member of this church, you were set here as it pleased God. Now, the question is, are we using our membership, are we using our abilities the way God placed us in here to use them? I can't answer that for you. I can't tell you what you're supposed to do. That's between you and God. You've got to get together with God and say, why am I a member of this place? Why do I come to this place? Why do I do the things I do? Why did you put me here, God? Yeah, because first of all, you should be lifting me up. You should be backing me up. You should be helping with the doctrine and the preaching and everything else that goes on. You were put here for a purpose, and that's to edify the body of Christ. That's what I was supposed to be doing. I hope I am. It says here, but now, I'm going to step up. Let's back up. If we were, and if they were all one member, where were the body? We need everybody here. Everyone here needs to be doing and working and doing things as this body has been brought into the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be a body that's doing the work of Jesus Christ. We need to be a body that's using all the gifts that God has given us. And I'm not just talking about spiritual gifts. God has given you, every one of us, some kind of talent that can be used right here at this place. And I'm not trying to complain. I'm not. There's a lot of things else that we have going on here that is not getting done, that needs to be according to what we do. Because I guess I could put it this way. If we hire out all the work, then we're sure missing out on a lot of blessings. I ain't going to go no further than that. If I hire out all the work, I miss my blessing. But now are they many members, yet but one body. There's a bunch of us. There's a pile of us. But there's only one body of this church. There's only one body of Christ. And we were all put in this body to do what God has called us out to do. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. I can't look at the person who ain't been here in 14 years and say, I don't need you. But I would say to that person who ain't been here in 14 years, have you looked for someplace else that's close to you that you could go to and glorify God? Or are you just sitting at the house not doing anything? Because I'm assuming that if it says go to be on the church house on the first day of the week to bring your tithes, your offering, stuff like that, undoubtedly it means for you to be in the church on the first day of the week. And it means for you to be in the church that you belong to on the first day of the week. It means for you to be in the church that you're a member of on the first day of the week. It says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. I need you. I need every one of you. I'm not trying to run a single soul off. That's not my point here. My point is we need everyone in the building, in the church, all the members, wherever they may be today, worshiping God and building up this body and edifying this body. There's not one member that we can say, we don't need that member anymore. There's not one soul that we can say, well, you know how they are. We don't need them. Not one. Not one. If you're getting that out of what I'm saying, you're missing the point. I'm not saying I don't need you. I'm saying we need you. We need every one of you in your place, in your spot, worshiping God, serving God, doing the things of God, to build this body and to strengthen this body. We need everyone. It says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I think that's me. I think that's me. More feeble. The one who's weak. The one who needs all the help. The one who needs all the stuff. It says here, nay, but much more the members of the body which seem to be more feeble, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and I'm not saying any of our members that we believe are less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, there ain't a single member of this church that doesn't deserve honor. There's not a single member of this church that doesn't deserve to be lifted up. There's not a single member of this church, no matter how little they understand the Bible, or how much they understand the Bible, how little they do this, or how much they do that, every single one of them needs to be honored. Every single one of them needs to have the respect that they deserve. Every single one of them needs to be acknowledged when they come in and out. It says, For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts which lack. Man. You say, well, Charlie, guess what? God's given more honor to that part that's lacking. I'm saying, oh man, that don't sound right. But I ain't never seen God play fair. God gives more honor to the weak. God's the one that strengthens them. God's the one that encourages them. God's the one that lifts them up. It says here, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. God is the one who pulled us together. God is the one who set us as a body in Christ. God is the one who has placed this church right where He placed it. God is the one who has brought this church along. He could have shut the doors down anytime He got ready if He so chose. But God has kept this little body going for a long time. And my prayer is He will continue to keep it going for a long time. It says that there should be no schism in the body. First of all, our body needs to understand, what do we believe? What do we follow after? What is our statement of faith? What is our stance that we're going to stand on? What is the thing that we will not deviate from no matter what's going on? It says here that there be no schism. We're not sort of this, sort of that, sort of something else, something else. We've got a statement of faith, what we believe, what we've put it in. And I understand my statement of faith is this, don't get me wrong. But yet there are a lot of people that have this and believe a lot of stuff different than I do. So, there's no way that I could be a member of the Catholic Church. I'm not trying to be ugly to Catholics. But they would not accept what I got to say. They just won't do it. And there are many other churches that if I bailed up in there, they'd say, get that guy out of here. He's weird. He believes something else. So we need to understand what we believe right here. And we stand on that. It says, there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. In other words, I care for you. You care for me. I love you. You love me. I pray for every single person in this place. You should be praying for every single person in this place, including me. It says here that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. The only way you can have the same care for me is you got to be around where I'm at. We don't have no long-range love affairs in the body of Christ. We are local members of the local body of Christ. For me to know how Keith's feeling, I have to communicate with him. For me to know how Lucian's feeling, I have to communicate with him. For me to know how anybody else is feeling, they have to be in communication with me. There's no way-off stuff. I don't know how some of those people who've never been here in years, I don't know a thing about what they feel. I don't see them every day. I don't feel them every day. I don't hear them every day. That's why it's a local body of church. It says, it's just what the Bible says. I'm reading this out of the book. You do get that, right? Now ye are the body. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. If you're here and you're baptized, born again believer, and you put your membership here by a letter of faith or by baptism or by statement of faith in the movement of a letter, whatever it is, you have decided that here is where you want to be, here is where you want to do your stuff, here's where you need to be taking care of your gifts and your stuff that He's given you. And God has set for some in the church to be apostles. Now, if you go to one of them churches where you're an apostle, you miss chapter 2 of Acts, because there are no more apostles. To be an apostle, you had to actually walk with Jesus Christ. You had to actually talk with Jesus Christ. You had to be there through His whole ministry, even until the day He died on the cross. And if you were there, then you're older than me. That's the only way you could be an apostle. If you go to any church where you say, I'm apostle so-and-so, then you've got to be at least 2,000, 1,800 and something years old. At least. That'd make you an old guy. It says, are all apostles? And I can tell you absolutely right now, in this day and time, no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gift. Catch this. The best gift. And yet I will show you a more excellent way. And then he goes right into love. Chapter 13. And if you ain't read it yet, you need to read it right now. Because now is when he starts talking about love is the most important gift to be after. Love is the thing we're supposed to do. Love is the thing that covers a multitude of sins. Love is what we were saved to do. Now, what I'm trying to say this morning is we need every single member doing whatever single member was saved to do. We need every single member helping this church move along. We have every single member has been put here because you have a gift. Whether it's carpentry or plumbing or electrical or hi-fi computerism or whatever you might have, God put you here because you have something that you can contribute to help everything move along in this place, including prayer and preaching, studying and teaching and witnessing and all those things. It's kind of hard to meet somebody and invite them to come to church, invite them to hear some good gospel preaching, if on Sunday I'm not in church. And that guy shows up and says, "Well, so-and-so told me to come. I ain't seen them in months. Man, glad you come." It's hard. It is. And I understand conferences. I'm not even against conferences. I'm not against vacations. That's all I'm talking about. Y'all missing it if that's what you're thinking. What I'm saying is, if you ain't been here in years, then you might want to study where you want to be. If you ain't been here in years and you tell me you're a member here, you got me confused. If I quit coming for 7, 8, 10 months, y'all might want to check on me. Something's happened. We need every person, every member, doing what God has called them to do. This is not a chew out. This is not a chew out, if that's what you think. This is me compelling you. This is me begging you that as much as possible we should be in the house of God. As much as possible we should be doing the things of God. Now, if wherever we're at hinders that much as possible, then we need to reevaluate what we need to be doing. Because this body needs to be able to communicate with each other. This body needs to be able to know the feelings and the hurts and the pains and everything else. If I need you to run over to my house to see and to hug my neck, it's hard if you're 4 million miles away. I need you. A hug is hard to do long distance. I can pray for you long distance. I can say, "God bless you. You know, God works all things out for the good for all them that love God, to them are thee called by us, according to His purpose plan." That sounds all good and gracious, but it ain't like a hug. It ain't like a sitting there beside you and just saying, "Look, bro, I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you hurt. I'm just going to sit here with you. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to try to be your friend. I'm going to try to be your neighbor. I'm going to try to be the one that loves you. I'm not going to try to judge you or beat you up because of what's going on. I'm just going to sit here with you to try to comfort you." That's hard to do long distance. That's hard to do when you're not in the body of Christ, sitting in your place doing the things you're supposed to do. That's hard to do. I want to grow this church. I want this church to be edified. I want, and don't misunderstand, I am not the grower of it. I hope y'all understood that. I'd love to see every pew filled with people who are doing a work, with people who have a gift, with people who are doing a thing for God. But it starts out with the little body we have. And us doing what we're supposed to do. And using the gifts that we have. And the talents that we have. And I've heard people say, "Well, if you were a great singer when God saved you, that ain't the talent He gave you." And that's absolutely true. If He saves you, He gives you a spiritual talent to be used. Don't mean you can't sing no more. You still sing for the glory of God, but He's given you another gift. He could even give you 3 or 4 gifts. But for sure, every blood-bought, born-again believer gets at least one gift that they can use for the glory of God. Your gift might be writing out little letters and mailing them out to people in the phone book. God saves sinners. God will do His stuff, whatever it may be. In fact, I had a little lady send me a letter years and years ago. I got a letter in the mail. I called her up on the phone. I said, "Thank you." Now, of course, she was Armenian. Don't get me wrong. But told me if I'd say this prayer, this, that, and the other, and stuff like that. But she cared enough to spend time to write out a card, her own stamp, her own envelope, mailed it to my house, and she'd never seen, never heard of, or anything else, and saying, God can save. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has something they could be doing. Now I'm going to get back to the end of it. That we should seek after that more excellent gift. And you could say, well, if you really loved me, you wouldn't have preached that last message. Well, if I really loved you, I would have preached that last message because that's what I needed. I need to do what I'm supposed to do. I need to use my gifts. I need to use my talents. I need to use the things that God's given me. So therefore, I needed that. And if you haven't been using yours, then you needed it also. So I won't preach that again for about another, next week maybe. So brother, the only way you can do any of those things is to be blood-bought, born again by Jesus Christ Himself. All those gifts, all those things will do you absolutely no good without the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your account. So, if there's anybody here who God has saved this morning or last week or during the week, please feel free to come let us know, because we love to hear God has added to the church. We love to hear that God has added to His family. Not that I added anything. We learned that a while ago. I didn't do that. But if God has added you, if God has convicted you of your sins and told you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, please, at this time, let us know. Let us know that we may give God the glory and God the honor in all the things that we do.